Good morning and welcome again to the broadcast. We appreciate your tuning in today. We're going to be looking at a great subject today in the Bible. This is very important in the Christian life. It's something that we need to grow in. It's something that we need to do more of. And I'm talking about gratitude. I'm talking about being thankful to God. This is a subject that oftentimes is ignored. Oftentimes, I believe that we just take it for granted. We say, well, of course I'm thankful. Of course I'm grateful. But do we really show it? More than just giving thanks at mealtime, although we will talk about that today, gratitude is an attitude. It is a state of mind. It's a condition of our hearts that shows itself in so many different ways. For instance, if you're thankful, you will also be humble. If you're thankful, you will share what you have with other people and give. If you're thankful, you're going to be more mindful of God. You're going to love Him, and you're going to trust in Him more. And if you're thankful, you won't be prideful. You won't be jealous of other people. You won't be covetous. You won't be stingy. And you sure won't complain and grumble if you're thankful to God. So this is a simple but a far-reaching virtue. And we have come to just a great, memorable story here today in Luke chapter 17. And we're going to begin reading in verse 11. Here the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Now remember, he's passing through Samaria as well as Galilee. Now, the Samaritans, of course, were a group of people that were part Jew and part Gentile. And there was a wall of enmity. There was such prejudice between the Jews and the Gentiles that the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to Jesus that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews, and there was a long-standing history there that goes all the way back, really, to the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, and even before that, to some extent, when the king of Assyria sent foreign nations back into the land of Israel, and they began to intermarry with these Jews, and that was the beginning of the Samaritan race. Well, the Jews just considered that a slap in the face. They just considered that an insult to their bloodline. And that was very, very important to them. To be a Jew and to be a pure-blooded Jew was something that meant a lot to them. So what we find is that there was a lot of racial enmity. There was a lot of racial prejudice between the Jews and the Gentiles. And now here goes Jesus, a Jew, through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, verse 12, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they stood afar off, of course, because the law of Moses said that if you had leprosy, you were to be quarantined, in a sense. You were to be separated from the rest of the public because that leprosy could spread. It was contagious. And so the Old Testament said that they needed to be sectioned off. Now, these 10 men that were lepers then stood afar off. And the Bible says in verse 13 that they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So this shows that they knew who Jesus was. They knew that he was the Messiah. They knew that he had the ability to heal. And so they're crying out for mercy. Well, the Bible says in verse 14, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed." Now, I want you to notice a couple of things here. Jesus said, "I want you to go and show yourselves to the priest." Now, the reason for that is this. Back in the Old Testament, the law said that if you thought that you had leprosy or if you had leprosy, that you were to go to the priest. He was to inspect you. And there were certain regulations. There were certain details that the priest was to look for in that person that may have had or did have leprosy. And so the law was very specific about that. And you have Jesus here saying to these men that were lepers to go and show yourselves to the priest. And another part of that is that when a man was cleansed, he was to make an offering. He was to go to the priest, and he was to offer there according to what the law of Moses said. Now, you find another example of that in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Now, I want you to notice very carefully two important lessons that we learn from this one verse. That is Luke chapter 17, verse 14, when he said to these 10 men that were lepers, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. two lessons. Number one, Jesus respected the law. He realized that the law of Moses said in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 that somebody that was in this condition needed to go to the priest. And he realized also that this individual or these people were to offer a sacrifice because of their cleansing. He didn't turn away from the law of Moses and simply say, well, you know, that was given a long time ago. Moses lived about 1,500 years ago, and surely times have changed. God doesn't expect us to follow the details of the law today, 1,500 years later. That was given in Moses' time. It doesn't really apply or mean anything today. You never find Jesus doing that, do you? You never find him disrespecting the law or saying, Moses wrote that, but it really doesn't mean anything for us Jews today. He respected the law. He followed the law, and we find that here in the case of these lepers. Now, the second thing that I would like for you to think about is the fact that even though Jesus is healing these lepers, the lepers had to do something. You say, well, what is it that they had to do? They had to go. They had to go and to show themselves to the priest. And that might seem like a small thing. But suppose these lepers had stood back and said, well, why do we have to do that? It's not what we do anyway that really cleanses us. We believe in the grace of God. We believe in the mercy of God. We don't believe that we can be healed by our works or anything that we do. Can't you just hear some people suggesting that that's the way that they should have responded? But we don't find that the lepers said that. We don't find that the lepers said, well, how can you expect us to do anything? Do you think that we're trying to work out our healing? Do you think that we're trying to do something to earn or to deserve getting healed? It wasn't a matter of earning it. It wasn't a matter of deserving it. It was a matter of God's grace, yes, but God's grace was applied when they did what God told them to do. And if they had refused or ignored to do what Jesus told them to do, then they would not have been cleansed. Now, that's exactly what you find in the sense of the point that I'm illustrating right here. You find the same thing in the case of Naaman, because Naaman was told to go and dip in the Jordan River seven times. He also had leprosy. And so God wanted him to do exactly what he said, go dip in the Jordan River seven times. And it was only when Naaman did exactly what God said that he was cleansed. Now, did he earn his cleansing? Did he earn his healing? Was he insulting or taking anything away from the grace of God because he actually did something? Absolutely not. What we find is that God's grace is extended to man, but it oftentimes, of course, works through these commandments of God. So these 10 lepers were healed for the first time in years and perhaps for the first time in their whole life. They knew what it was like to be normal. And folks, they could tell immediately that they were healed. They could tell by the change in their body, and they could tell by the change in the way that they felt. So they had faith, they obeyed, they were healed, and the Bible shows that most of them just kept on walking. In verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now the rest of those men, those other nine, they knew that they were healed too. This was not some kind of special revelation that was given just to this one man that was healed. All 10 of them realized that they were healed from this leprosy. But one of them turned back. And the Bible says in verse 16 that he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan, the very man that the Jews would least likely expect to come back and to thank Jesus is the one that did it. The other nine went on. And verse 17 says, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. He calls him a stranger because he was outside of the fold of Israel. He was really outside of the nation of Israel in that sense. And those people were oftentimes called, in a Jewish sense, strangers. So the numbers here are sad, aren't they? 10 were healed, and only one came back to give thanks. That means 90% of the people who were healed from this terrible illness did not even have the decency to come back and to thank Jesus. But look at our society today. Look at the world today. How many people enjoy the good blessings of God every day and fail to thank Him for it? How many people eat good food, wear the good clothes they have, enjoy the comfortable homes that they possess without ever thanking God? And many of them without even thinking about God being the one that gave them these blessings, 90% of the people in this story failed to thank Jesus. How many people today fail to thank God? How many people go to a restaurant? How many people sit down at home and have a meal and do not bow their heads to thank God for the meal that they have from Him? If it were not for God, folks, we would not have a house. We would not have our clothes. We would not have our food. As a matter of fact, we would not even take one single breath if it were not for Him. The Bible says that He gives to all life and breath and all things. Acts 17, verse 25. And as I said, folks, being thankful, having a grateful heart, is more than just some kind of lip service. There are people that will say that they're thankful. They may even utter a prayer, and that's better than not uttering a prayer. That's better than not saying thanks at all. But they really don't have it in their heart, and they really don't think about what they're saying. And there are other people that if you bring up this subject and say, you know, if it were not for the grace of God, if it were not for the goodness of Almighty God, we wouldn't have anything. And there are people that will look at you and say, well, of course that's true. Yes, God is good to us. And then it will be a long time before they ever bow their head and thank God for anything. And if you think that I'm overstating the case here, I want you to listen very carefully to what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I think that we have that today. Covetous, we also have a lot of that today. Boasters and proud, we have plenty of that. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, we have many cases of that today. Unthankful and unholy. In the list of all these sins that he gives here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, one of them is the sin of ingratitude. Let's be one of the few who really thank God and who live a grateful life in His sight. Gratitude is one of the greatest things that we can do in God's sight, and ingratitude is one of the worst sins that we can commit. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope that this study has helped, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.